Chicago. This is your morning routine.
Put some respect on my name.
Cap and J-Hood.
That's right. That's right. We're bad.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Stream the show on the ESPN Chicago app and on FM 100.3 HD2 and on ESPN 1000 Chicago. Now. David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Good morning, everyone.
Bring them out. Bring them out. Woo!
Bring them out. Welcome in to the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000, and we are streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. With David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you, we've got Jack, we've got Jay Moore, we got you for a three-hour ride here on this Monday morning with open phone lines for you. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our telephone number. And Cap, the hottest team in Chicago sports right now is the Chicago Cubs. Think about it. Sweeping out Houston, losing 2 out of 3 against the Red Sox, splitting with the Mets in 4 games, and winning 2 out of 3 against Milwaukee as Council takes on his old team, the Milwaukee Brewers, and takes care of them in fine fashion.
You had 3 starters give up a combined 0 runs. 0. And all of them went at least 6 innings. You had Hayden Wisniewski out there, Javier Assad, who you were the first to tell us that guy belongs in the rotation. He didn't even make the major leagues till August of 2022. He was an international free agent signing in 2015. He's now going to turn 27. And over the last 11 months or so, since mid-June a year ago, he has the best ERA, minimum 100 innings pitched by a starter, of any guy in baseball. Anybody. Like, in the vicinity, Garrett Cole is in there. Blake Snell is in it. Javier Assad's number one. He's been unbelievable. You could call him their ace. Imanaga's been sensational, but it's a small sample size. 6 starts. Justin Steele, who was their opening day starter, he comes back tonight against Darvish. Should be great theater to watch from Wrigley Field. But this team is showing you, if upper management will get the ATM card out, there's no telling how far they could go. You get in, anything happens, man.
What you have to like if you're a Cubs fan is Steele out, Wicks out, Suzuki, Cody Bellinger. You have some key players out for the Chicago Cubs, but yet you are tied for first place this morning with the Milwaukee Brewers. There are some teams that would perish and saying, oh, we don't have two of our big boppers in the lineup. We're missing 2 rotation guys. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Guess what the Cubs are doing? They're finding a way to be able to win ball games. It starts with the pitching, and now look what's happened to the Cubs. They're tied for first place, and I know we're having this conversation in early May, but the point is that the Cubs are not going through a long losing streak. They're actually flourishing because of what's happening. The others are picking up the slack.
You've had a team that has had no steal since the opening game. Tyone didn't break camp with the regular team. He pitched great over the weekend. Cody Bellinger out. Seiya Suzuki out, although both, according to Craig Counsell, could be back this week. Julian Merriweather, who's arguably their best setup guy, him or Leiter, he's been out for a while with a broken rib. So Dansby Swanson has been struggling. He broke out of his slump yesterday. Nico Hoerner started slow, has been really good. Mervis came up. He's already back in the minors. Morel went through a slump. He's already back trending the right way. Ian Happ has been slumping. You've been playing a kid in Pecor Armstrong who probably needs more seasoning, but he's been up. Tauchman, your guy, has been really, really good. They're finding a way, man. They are finding a way. And it's time to start recognizing a pretty damn good team.
Craig Counsell is the manager for the Chicago Cubs, talking about Swanson. After finally getting a home run, there was a long time where there wasn't power from Swanson, but finally came through.
I think, when you're struggling a little bit at the plate, just good results, helping your team win, taking a really good swing and getting rewarded for it, it just feels good. It's a It's a weight off your shoulders for sure. So happy for Dansby's. You know, he's so important to us, and you know, he's been in a little scuffling a little bit. That's part of the major league season, and hopefully this is a sign he's getting back out of it.
Yesterday was his first home run since April 24th against the Astros.
Yeah, he's been off defensively a bit, making uncharacteristic errors for a two-time Gold Glove winner. So hopefully that settles down. And yeah, as you said, his offense maybe is starting to come around. Now, this is a great challenge this next three games with the Padres. They just went out and added Luis Arraez, gave up three of their better prospects, I think like 6, 8, and 10 in their top 10. So that's a stiff price to pay, but the Marlins are open for business. I'm hearing the Cubs are talking to them potentially about a reliever, maybe Tanner Scott. We'll see. Talking and getting something done are two entirely different things. But watching this Cubs team play, they play hard. We know they're well managed. If they can get through these injuries to this degree, add all these guys back in, it's inherent on upper management to spend whatever it takes to push them over the line.
And how far can the Cubs go? As you mentioned in the meeting, how far can they go?
They can win the World Series. I'm not telling you they will, but you get in. The Arizona Diamondbacks barely got in last year. They went to the World Series. We saw the Phillies a couple years ago go in as the wild card. They went to the World Series. This club absolutely could do the same thing in the National League. Who is in the National League that you go, oh my God, no chance? Dodgers haven't been playing great ball.
Well, that's a kiss of death.
They're a good team. I mean, their payroll is what, $280 million or whatever it is? Yeah, they got great players. For whatever reason, they haven't gotten off to the type of start that I think everyone thought the Dodgers would. The Braves are really good. There's good teams in the National League. But is there somebody you go, oh my God, unbeatable? Absolutely not.
I don't know if anyone in baseball is unbeatable, but you know the common denominator with World Series teams, and that is good fortune and luck and magic. That's the number one word. That's the word I'm searching for, magic. Magic meaning that all of a sudden things happen out of nowhere and the team is able to win because of good fortune. And that's what the Cubs need. It's funny, we talked about that with the Bears in our conversations when I said, Cap, the reason why that the Bears are in this position right now on the precipice of being a playoff team with Caleb Williams is magic because of good fortune. Lovie Smith opens a door here, and the Atlanta Falcons open a door there, and all of a sudden now look at your roster. Same thing with the Cubs. You had good fortune because you've been able to play well because of the injuries. You're overcoming the injuries, but now you need the magic. That means games that you come out of nowhere. You pull out of places that you didn't know you had places. That's what the Cubs need. Until I see that magic, I can't roll with you on that. We got to see certain games down the stretch in the summer. It's like, oh, my God, I can't believe that. And we haven't seen that yet from the Cubs.
Their number one pitching prospect, he's number two in minor league, all of minor league baseball, Cade Horton. He's now already left Double-A. He already had his first outing in Triple-A and was really good. I'm telling you, late June, he's probably here. And if that's the case, I mean, go out and get a couple bullpen arms. You got to stay healthy, obviously. But they've got these guys coming back. They got a really good team. They really, really have a good team if they could fix the back end of their pen. And that's incumbent on Jed and Carter Hawkins and Tom Ricketts and the family saying, okay, whatever, what's it going to take? They did that in 2016. Gave up a good package. They loved Gleyber Torres. He's been a good player for the Yankees. He's not a superstar, but he's a good player. And they got 3 months of Aroldis Chapman, and they won the World Series. There is no reason they don't go make a deal like that this year.
It might need some more. You know, the more and more you mention like a Ben Brown or like a Cade Horton, guys like that, the more and more you start bringing up starters, the more and more Kyle Hendricks seems like he's far, far away.
Yeah,
because you have an embarrassment of riches now, at least with young talent, if nothing else, with young pitchers. Now, at some point, Cap, you have to look at this and say, does Kyle Hendricks fit the dynamic of the 2024 Chicago Cubs? You're talking about these young players as if they can make a difference. Maybe they can, and maybe more so than the veteran Hendricks. At some point, you have to pull the string and say, okay, that's enough at some point. he keeps pitching like this, he's going to be Jake Arrieta before you know it. Just saying, like, no matter how much he's making, that's not a bullpen arm. That's just, that stuff's not good enough for the bullpen. It's either starter or nothing.
Yeah, he'll get another opportunity in this rotation, and there'll always be injuries. Always. Guys need a day. We saw Steele go out in the opening game of the season. So there will be hiccups. There will be an opportunity for him to get back. He's pitched one rehab start. We'll see how things go for him. But he'll get another opportunity. We'll see if it works. I hope it does because he's such a good dude.
We're getting to the old six-man rotation idea now.
No way.
I'm just saying.
I don't think they do that. Again, this stuff always seems to play itself out because of injury. But Chris Kamka tweeted this. After combing through at Stathead, this is the only time from 1901 to the present that the Cubs have played a series of three-plus games and had a start of six-plus scoreless innings in each game. Wisniewski, Tyone, and Assad. Now you get Steele back tonight.
And Wisniewski.
There's another arm that's been really good. He'll go to the bullpen when they get guys back.
Yeah, maybe some of your answers of some of these young arms might be bullpen guys. You're looking for bullpen help. Veteran arms in the bullpen. How about a fresh arm or two in that bullpen to bolster things?
Yeah, maybe.
Because if I see another YouTube video of you just popping up out of nowhere criticizing Hector Neris, I think I'm going to jump out off the bridge. You've had enough.
Oh, my God.
You'll get your closer, but you got to be patient. You're too impatient. You're not going to lose the pennant in May. The team's hanging in there in the National League Central, is it not?
They are. They're tied for first.
You said no one's scaring you in the National League. Okay. Well, then you put Jed's feet to the fire like we did in opening day and say, Jed, last year you didn't believe in the ball club. Clearly you didn't believe in the ball club. Even though you want to pull the plug on the team and the Cubs told you don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Give us a chance. And you're on the precipice of getting the playoffs last year. But what was missing? The bullpen. So I would say that you have to trust Jed this time because if they're not going to invest in the ball club to make a push at this thing, then there's going to be huge criticism once again on Hoyer.
Yeah, and I think they will. I think they feel differently about this team than they did a year ago. But if you go back to Friday's game, I mean, they have every chance to sweep the Brewers.
Yep.
Every chance. And you look at the box score, and in comes Amaya. No, Alzolay.
Alzolay.
He goes Wisniewski. 6 1/3, 3 hits, no runs, 2 walks, 8 strikeouts, a pitch count of 90. Lovelady comes in, gives you a perfect inning with 1 strikeout. And then you go to Alzolay. So here we are. Alzolay comes in, lasts 1/3 of an inning, 4 hits, 3 runs, all earned, 1 strikeout. Bam, see you later. Thanks for coming. And then Colton Brewer finishes it out. You lose 3-1. That is a game that you should have won.
Mm-hmm.
He's blown 5 saves. Five blown saves from Adbert Alzolay, and the Cubs sit with a record now of 21-14. I'm not telling you he should have been perfect, but let's assume he only blows 2 of those. Add 3 more wins. You're 24-12. You're rolling.
Mm-hmm.
Rolling. You would have swept them. They would have left town. You'd be 2 games in front. So they've got to figure out the Alzolay thing because for all the people tweeting at me, he cannot be sent to the minors. He has no options left. It's either release him with really good stuff that hasn't worked out and watch somebody else claim him and then go, oh, God. I mean, you've got to just pitch him in low leverage. You're down 5 runs, put him in. You're up 10, put him in. You just can't put him in the 8th and 9th inning yet. You cannot.
You know how you coaches are, though. You'll say, I'll take him and I'll fix him. Or be at a mediocre ball club and he could be the closer for them.
He would get picked up in a second if the Cubs announced they were going to get rid of him. He'd be claimed in a second because he's got electric stuff. It's just not working right now.
And he's out of position now, Cap. If he can't close, now you put him in. It's kind of like, who was it just recently with the White Sox? There was a longtime closer that they put as a setup man that didn't work. Right-hander. Can't come up with the name. God, it's Kimbrel. That was as Kimbrel, right?
Mm-hmm.
Kimbrel was never good in the 7th or the 8th. But you need him in the 9th, he's a closer. You put him in any other role, it's not good.
Correct.
Maybe that works for Alzolay. Maybe the same thing. maybe he just needs a different address. If he's not going to be the closer here, I think he could be a closer and pitch well someplace else.
Maybe. It's worth, if you were a team that was down, you're the Marlins or somebody like that, you go, I'll take a shot at him.
Sure.
See if we can fix him. If you're the White Sox, why would you not take a shot at an arm like that? But the hits that he gave up, exit velocity was not a problem for him on Friday. They weren't crushing him. They were some infield hits. He's running into A, bad luck, and B, making bad pitches, period.
So let's talk about this. Jack, let's open the phone lines this morning. 312-332-ESPN. 332-3776 is our phone number. Cap and I are talking to you about the Cubs. The Cubs come in this morning 21-14 on the season. They're tied with Milwaukee for first place in the National League Central. The Cubs are the hottest team in Chicago sports. There's no question about that at this point in time. Is it too early to say that they can make the World Series? Let's talk about that on the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show.
Cap and J-Hood, I'm back.
We are back, baby. We are back. We are back. Yeah. Classic.
On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Cap and J-Hood on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. The Cubs, they shut out the Brewers by a score of 5-0. Cubs are tied for first place in the National League Central. Long season. Point is, though, is that if you know the storylines for the Cubs, a lot of injuries early. And as I've been telling Cap on the outside looking in of this, you rather go through this now than go through this in August or September. Could you imagine down the stretch you're in a pennant race? Oh, two starting pitchers out and two of your big boppers out in the lineup, like, and you don't know who your closer is. At least the Cubs are going through this now and winning at the same time. It says a lot about the ball club.
It does. It says a lot about how hard they play for their manager, but they played hard for Rossi too. But they, you know, as this young team starts to come of age, we'll see if they can make a deep run. They're the best team in that division, clearly. But because you get injuries now does not mean you won't get them later. Like, I love your optimism that you get the injuries out of the way now, but there's no, like, Major League Baseball board that says they've had enough.
Well, that's just me rooting for you.
Yeah.
But
even though you're rooting for the Padres tonight. Your guy's pitching one of the games. Cease.
Yeah.
You and your Padres text chain will be locked in.
Yeah, it's been a rough watch in the first month watching the Padres.
And they just went out and got Luis Arraez.
Mm-hmm.
Gave up three good prospects. He has a four-hit day in his first game as a Padre. Mm-hmm. And Mike Schilt, their manager, said, you cannot believe what that did in our clubhouse. How excited everybody is. We went and got the best hitter in the National League. Let's go.
Yeah.
And there he is. That guy's a really, really good player. Bob Nightingale writes, the White Sox, off to their worst start in franchise history, are still hoping to trade Tommy Pham to the highest bidder before the trade deadline. He could be their leading candidate. He just joined the team to represent the team at the All-Star game. Sox are also expected to trade starters Eric Fetty, Chris Flexen, Mike Clevinger, Michael Kopech, and Eloy Jimenez.
So let me just tell you how I feel about that as a White Sox fan. And by the way, if Nightingale said it, it's good as gold, by the way. That could be from Scott Merkin. That could be from Steve Stone. That's as good as gold if Nightingale said it. If it's a White Sox story, he's got it. He's got it nailed. So what you're saying with that report, Cap, is that you're not building on anybody. That's what you're saying. Like, even though the Sox could lose 100-plus ball games, at some point, you have to be able to find future cornerstones for the franchise.
Are there any there, in your opinion?
Well, I mean, Crochet's off to a good start. Mm-hmm. That could be a building block for you.
Yep.
Robert's on the team for now.
Yep.
That's a star on the South side. That's a must-watch. If you're looking for a must-watch, it's that guy when he's healthy. It's Luis Robert.
Yes.
He's in the outfield. And when you're in the concession line, all right, let's see what Robert's going to do.
Would you trade him? Like, right now, he's not healthy. I had dinner with my brother last night for his birthday, and we were talking about Luis Robert. And he's like, you're telling me teams wouldn't trade for him now? They wouldn't give you enough back
sure.
till they know he's healthy. So you got to wait. But when he comes back, Let's assume he comes back and he looks like, looks good. Would you trade?
Yeah, I think anyone's tradable.
He's only, what, 26?
Yeah, anyone's tradable. But to my point, though, if you're going to say that you got the doors open for everybody, we're just going to have a clearance sale, then it actually proves my point even more so when I said, Cap, this decade is over for the White Sox. It's over. Like, they're not getting to the playoffs in the 2020s. The start of this is 2031. And that, I know that sounded like hyperbole when I first said it to you, but when you think about it, if you're going to say in May, yeah, you know, it's wide open for anybody. Anybody can be traded from this ball club. That means that you're just trying to get minor league talent and try to develop minor league talent. And by the way, that's a crapshoot too. Someone's best minor league talent does not necessarily mean that you're going to have a ready-made ball club by the time you get to 2028. It's not happening. It's not happening. So when you say, you know, it's Nightingale, so I believe him because look at the track record. If it's a Sox story, he's right on top of it more times than not, it's accurate. Then that means that you don't have any cornerstones. And that's a shame for a big market team in this town to say, yep, I know we made a lot of trades last year, but here's some more for you. So you're not going to have anybody. So Andrew Vaughn, guess he's available too.
How old is Andrew Vaughn? He can't be very old, right?
No.
He's got to be, what, 25? I mean, there are guys there that you just have to continue to develop. I really believe, he's 26. Yeah. He just turned 26. Mm-hmm. Andrew Vaughn was the number 3 pick overall. The best hitter in that draft by every scout's metric. Go back and read anything about that draft. Best hitter in the draft is Andrew Vaughn. Doesn't mean he's going to turn out to be the best hitter, but he was at the draft. They have upgraded their front office. I think on that level, Chris Getz has done a really good job. He poached some really good executives from other teams, gave them good deals, signed them. That does not mean that it turns around overnight unless Jerry's willing to spend at a level he has not gone to yet.
I don't like our team.
Apparently Chris Getz doesn't like this team either.
Right.
I don't like our team.
But I understand his frustration. But if Jerry says, okay, take the pay. I'm not asking you to spend like the Mets. The Padres cut $80 million off their payroll, and they look like a better team. Mm-hmm. It's not how much you spend. It's who you spend it on.
Fair.
But you have to go out and be willing if there's a couple of really costly acquisitions that will make you a better team. It's not like there's a juggernaut in your division. There's good teams. I don't think you have to spend crazily to get competitive, be decent. You don't.
What I would say is that to the average White Sox fan, when they hear that story from Nightingale, means that when you go to the ballpark, you're watching a minor league ball club. And minor leagues meaning that you could watch a minor league team and then someone gets a call up or go someplace else. It's like, oh, I was enjoying watching this player, but now that player is gone after a month or two. So could you imagine that in a Major League Baseball park that you're sitting down trying to watch your favorite team, the White Sox, and then your guys are just going to be plucked off one by one by another ball club to better teams?
Mm-hmm.
That's a hard watch, especially in Chicago. It is.
It is.
That's very difficult to be in a major league city in a big market like this, and then treat your team like, I don't know, the Kansas City Royals. They want the Royals model? Well, this is what you got. You got a former Royal and a former White Sox in the front office. You got former Royals. You got a former Royal as a manager. You got former Royals in the upper room there at Guaranteed Rate. Well, you want to run like the Royals? Well, this is what you get. And actually, the Royals actually are a better ball club lately than the White Sox. It says a lot.
They're actually playing good baseball. But they also got a cornerstone piece, Bobby Witt Jr.
Yeah.
So it's different, but I'm telling you that this Cubs team, if they stay healthy and get these guys back, and sounds like it's imminent, and they're getting Steele back tonight, there's no reason they can't win the division and win it fairly comfortably.
Mm-hmm.
Once you get in, anything can happen. I mean, in a world where they have the financial ability at the deadline to go out and add on, go, who's the best available closer? Maybe the A's fall out of it and go, we'll trade Mason Miller. He's really good. Go do it then. If not now, when? You want to add on a little bit now and then wait, and in July go, all right, we're six games in front. Let's go, Jed.
Mm-hmm.
That's incumbent on management.
Yeah.
But you get in, I'm telling you, with this starting pitching, anything can happen. Anything.
That's true, but I wonder about the offense as well. You know, one of the things we talked about before the season is, do you have enough pop offensively? You have enough on-base percentage, I believe, but ultimately you're going to need home run power, and I'm not sure if you have enough of that. You might acquire that. And someone might emerge from that. Like, I'm a big Morel fan. I hope he hits 25 to 30 home runs. I hope that he's able to do that, because I think that's in him with a little bit more seasoning, but that, I think, matters also. I mean, line drive power is fine, but I'd like for them to be able to get the ball out of the ballpark. In that lineup, nobody scares you. Nobody scares you in the lineup. Not yet for the Cubs. But they also are very good on the bases. They're very good at keeping the line moving. So that has to occur for this team to be able to have sustained success in the playoffs.
Yeah, Christopher Morel right now has 7 home runs already.
Mm-hmm.
Driven in 21. And looks like they made an adjustment to him. It looks like he's made an adjustment back to them.
Yep.
We're going to find out if that continues. He had a home run over the weekend on Saturday. He had a home run on Friday. Yesterday, he was 1-for-1. He drove in an RBI. So he's a really good player, man. I'm telling you, people need to get on board that this team absolutely can make a run to the top. They absolutely can if management's willing to add on. 100% in my opinion.
And that is bullpen help, but I wonder about offense as well. That's something that's needed.
Yeah, I think they have enough offense. I do. I do think they have enough offense. Got to let this kid at first continue to play. He's playing well. You've got Horner and Swanson. You like Morel. Ian Happ's got to pick it up, but they've got guys in the minors that could come up. And he has a no-trade clause. For all the people tweeting, can we trade Happ? No. He's got a no-trade clause. He's got to play better. Bellinger comes back. Suzuki is back. I'm telling you, no. They need two quality back-end bullpen arms. Quality.
Yeah, I would say, Cap, that I don't look at the Cubs versus the Central. I look at the Cubs versus the upper echelon in the National League, for instance. Like the Cubs against the Braves, please. Cubs against the Phillies, Cubs against the Dodgers. That's what it comes down to. You have to match as much as possible the offense of those teams. Those teams are dangerous. Cubs are fine, and I think that they're plucky. But what I would say is that you need more than a bullpen. You need some offense. You need a little bit more offense than that. Because I think that, and by the way, Jed knows that too. Jed said to us on opening day that we're not there yet. Of course, he wasn't sure that the ball club would be in first place at this time in early
Correct.
May. But he says we're not there yet. And he knows what's needed for the team. Now will the Cubs acquiesce and be able to pick up the arms and the offense that's needed? The Cubs are fine. But you look at them versus the rest of the good teams in the National League, they don't match up. Not offensively. They do not. They do not. Even with the Padres coming in here. And I've been up and down on the Padres all season because they're 18-19. I've watched them every night. They're just inconsistent at this point in time. But look at that lineup. Then look at the Cubs lineup. There's a difference.
Yeah, I just don't see a spot where you're adding offense. Maybe a bench bat. I do not see a spot where you're adding a starting bat. I don't see it. They're not moving Horner. They're not moving Swanson. They want to let Morel play. They want to let Bush play. They gave up a hell of a prospect for him. Happ can't be traded, and they're not moving Bellinger and Suzuki. So there is no spot, in my opinion, unless someone goes down with a serious injury, to add a everyday bat. I don't see it. I don't.
You like your DH?
I mean,
you could always upgrade there.
Dang. You could.
Yeah.
You could.
That's all I'm saying.
But I'm not convinced they're going to go out and get a big-time bat, a big-time closer, and a big-time setup. That's a lot to add in season. But I do think they add bullpen help.
You're the Cubs. Why not? All in, baby.
Agreed.
All in.
Agreed.
You'd do it.
I would, but I'm not the owner.
Well.
But I do think they have to add two back-end arms. And I think they will. I hope so.
All right. Is it too early to tell if the Cubs can make a World Series run? We're talking about that. Also, a Bears star was at the Cubs game yesterday. We'll talk about that and more as we move forward here on a Monday morning. Cap and Jay Hood on Chicago's Home for Sports.
Checkmate 1-6. Suppression on target.
That's why I see him in my shot.
Shot or no shot with Captain J-Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
That's why I see him in my shot.
Good morning and welcome in to the Captain J-Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000. And streaming on the ESPN Chicago app with David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you. Now time for Shot or No Shot, and it's brought to you by...
That'd be ESPN Bet, Johnny, now live in Illinois. Sign up today, new users get $100 in bonus bets with any sports book.
Bet.
We say good morning to in for Shea W. Norling, who has the day off. We've got little Jack in the front seat. Driving the car. Hey, Jack.
What's up, guys? How's it going?
Oh, we're going good, man.
That's good to hear.
Jack McGrath.
Jack, how was your weekend, buddy?
My weekend was fantastic. I was here for that Sox game that was delayed 3 hours. So
In
the producer studio waiting it out with Shea Norling because he was filling in on pregame. And so that was my Saturday night. But other than that, it was fantastic.
Did you have lunch? Was there a dinner?
I did, yes. Brendan Riley, our executive producer, bought a pizza for the entire crew. So.
I see. Thanks. No, we call that in the business, Jack.
What do we call it?
Class.
Yes.
Mensch move. Yeah, very nice. Class is a great word for it.
Realizing, because Riley, I'm sure, saw the weather map, too. It's like, okay, let me take care of you guys. 3 hours.
Yeah.
But do you agree with us, right, Jack? I mean, the idea in 2024 that you're waiting through this. Now, hey, Cap and I, because we only had a few channels, we were waiting for that Cub game. All right, they'll be back. Meanwhile, there's more episodes of the Honeymooners. All
right. Right.
That's fine.
That's
what
WGN used to do.
But I mean, 3 hours today? No shot.
I think the issue was they tried to push it so much in that 10th inning because there was only one out left that they just let the field soak and it downpoured on it and they couldn't get the field fixed.
It was
in time
raining
before
so
it
hard.
Raining
I'm like,
again.
What are you doing?
Yeah. There was no window to fix the field because fixing the field took 30 minutes itself.
John Rooney was pissed in the St. Louis broadcast booth where a White Sox winner.
He was not happy.
He is sitting there. Cappy, I'm still shitting here at the ballpark. He
God
wasn't
bless.
Happy. All right, Jack.
I'll miss those days.
All right, so we talked about the Cubs starting rotation. The ERA right now for the starters ranks fourth in Major League Baseball. Steele's coming back tonight. With Justin Steele back in the rotation, shot or no shot, the Cubs have the very best starting rotation in Major League Baseball.
Oh, boy. The way they're throwing right now, that's a shot. Now, is that sustainable? Now, if you tell me Cade Horton, who's, as I said, number two ranked pitching prospect in all of baseball and has already vacated his spot on the Tennessee Smokies roster, he's at AAA. If he gets here and he's who they think he is, like a top of the rotation type guy, yeah, that's a shot. That's a shot.
I think they could be. I would say there's no shot now. It starts with the Braves. I thought the Diamondbacks are in there as well. I think Seattle's in there as well. I think that the Cubs can be. As soon as they clear the smoke of all this, like who is going to be the rotation, I think they can be. Because I'm an Imanaga. I have Imanaga in the All-Star game like today.
He's really good. He'll pitch in this series against San Diego. I would have agreed with you on the Braves until Spencer Strider blew out his elbow.
Yeah.
And once they lost him for the year, I can't put the Braves there. If he was there, he was their ace.
Yes.
He's really, really good. So I will say the Cubs have a shot to be there. Absolutely.
You've seen the old Sox, Ray Lopez, lately? It's amazing when you have offense. Ronaldo Lopez?
Yeah.
Pretty good kid. He's been around the big leagues now since the White Sox. He's been in a couple spots.
Yeah.
It's amazing when you change uniforms. You get with a winning ball club. All of a sudden,
the whole mentality of your going to work changes.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. What else do we have, Jack?
All right. So there was an article in The Athletic this weekend about a potential new television home for the Sox, Hawks, and Bulls. And to clarify, this is not the Network Stadium, which is owned by Jerry Reinsdorf, but instead The Athletic reports that Standard Media Group is in partnership with the teams. Standard Media Group is based in Nashville. Shot or no shot, this should make some Sox fans more concerned about the team leaving for Nashville.
For me, that's a no shot. Hoodie may have an entirely different perspective. I believe there is still a tie between Standard Media Group and Stadium, but Stadium is got a tie to different advertisers, like gambling advertiser, that Standard Media does not. But I do think there will be some type of a mesh point for these two organizations to come together to put together a really good network for the White Sox, Bulls, and Blackhawks. It's unfortunate that NBC Sports Chicago couldn't get a deal done because they got some amazing, amazing people that worked there. Amazing. And I thought they did a great job.
I first of all, I'm just surprised that Standard Gas, after all these years, have gotten into the media business. I mean, a reliable gas station. You remember that back in the day, Cap. Going to Standard there. Fill them up.
That's BP Amoco now. There's no relation.
They change your oil. I enjoy going to Standard now. Much cheaper gas than you get everywhere else. I mean, listen, nothing against 76 and some of these other places. And
they're gone.
Sinclair.
Those are all gone. It's BP Amoco. But there was a merger.
Huh?
Standard Media has nothing to do with the gas company.
I didn't hear you. What do you say? Standard Gas. You remember it, right?
I do.
Blue and red.
Yeah.
You go there, bam, they change
and
your
now,
oil.
They're done.
What?
They merged 20 years ago with BP Amoco. They have no relation to Standard Media. None. Just happen to have the same name.
They change your oil. You remember this, right?
That's 25 years ago when they did that.
Hang on a second. You don't know what's going on. Folks, let me tell you about Standard. And they're going to be a partner with us here at ESPN 1000 pretty soon. We're talking about
They're not in business anymore. They're gone.
What do you mean? They've got a media conglomerate now. That's how successful they've been.
Different company. All right,
anyway, don't listen to him. Listen, you talk about a place that would clean your windshield.
Jack, cut this guy off.
Here's a guy here. I mean,
doesn't exist. All that nonsense back in the day. You pull your car in.
Nonsense, is that what you call it?
Yeah, and then where they would wipe your windows down. Can I check the oil? Can I check your tires? No. That's not happening anymore. That's called Jiffy Lube.
Damn.
Don't think you're right about that, but just because you say it loudly doesn't mean it's right.
I'm acting like Yerk.
All I'm telling you is that with this deal with the White Sox, boy, it just shows you, Cap, where the shows you where the media business is going, because this has been a hot rumor for a long time about the White Sox, the Blackhawks, and the
Bulls.
And the Bulls.
Mm-hmm.
Forget about them sometimes. Those three teams, right?
A lot of fans did, too.
Cap, hey, man, I know the business changes a lot. I just wonder about NBC Sports Chicago, a place that you worked for a long time.
I did.
About the people that worked there behind the scenes.
Yeah, I feel badly for those are some of my dearest friends, whether it's front-facing guys like Pat Boyle and Chuck Garfine and Ozzy and others, or all the people behind the scenes who make that place what it is, an awesome place to work. Disappointing.
I guess when it comes to the media business, especially if you're a fan watching and consuming your favorite teams, the one thing that's always consistent is change.
Correct.
I never thought that we'd never seen anything else. You know, we would always see Cubs games on Channel 9. And, of course, that changed. I always thought that the Sox would always be on Comcast, Sportsnet, Sports Vision, Channel 44. And, of course, those things change. So as we move forward, it's just change. I just feel badly for the people there because where there's smoke, there's fire. This is the second time we've seen this written in the Sun-Times.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's written for a second time, it seems likely that is going to happen.
Yes.
Surprise, surprise.
And then what happens to the consumer? They have to pay for an extra tier? Is this part of your basic cable? That's all have to be worked out.
Correct.
God.
Yeah, disappointing for all those people at NBC. Now we'll see. I trust that they will put a good product on wherever this thing goes. I'm going to watch the games. But we'll see.
All right, Jack.
There was an article in the Sun-Times this weekend by Daryl Van Scowen that said the White Sox should completely blow it up. That includes Garrett Crochet and Luis Robert, who both have long-term deals still. Shot or no shot, Garrett Crochet and Luis Robert are both traded with multiple years of team control.
Tap out.
Wow. I'm going to say no shot because you don't have Robert back yet. He's got to prove he's healthy. He's 25, mm-hmm. turning 26. Garrett Crochet, why would I? I'm trying to find more Garrett Crochets. So I'm going to say no shot. Neither guy gets moved. Other people, yes.
especially Robert being the cornerstone of the franchise. I mean, he's the guy. If everyone's expendable, Jack, then where are the White Sox going? You have to start someplace. Listen, it's not like we've never seen teams blow up before. We've seen this before. We've seen teams say, okay, we're going to just rip it down to the studs. But even when they do that, there's someone that's still a part of the franchise, a pitcher, a bat, something. But I just don't see, if the White Sox strip it all the way down where they say, yep, Crochet, we can get something for him and get something for Aloy, would get something for Andrew Vaughn. If you're going to do that, then where do you start? You must have a starting point.
Does it start with Colson Montgomery all the way down in the minors? Do you go all the way there? Because Robert has three more years left on his deal, and then they have to pay him. Will the Sox be willing to pay Luis Robert
when he hits three years? Why am I trading him now?
Is there window in 3 years? In the next 3 years?
It is not. But you have to start someplace, though. To have just absolute just minor league talent across the board or scrap heap guys. Would you tell me earlier, Cap? I mean, people are interested in Tommy Pham?
Correct.
Tommy Pham.
They said, Nightingale said he's your most likely all-star representative because everybody gets one.
How sad is that, though? He just got with the ball club. Paul DeJong, I've never seen an offseason leading into spring training, Jack, in which you're not sure what your rotation was going to be. It was all the way up to the end of the spring training where you had three stars you knew of. And like, all right, who else is it? Hey, is Clevenger around? Has anyone picked him up? Put him on the ball club. That's desperation. That's sad. That's sad when you do that. And so, look, I've seen bad teams before, but when you're just trying to cobble together a roster just to be able to have enough, you know, players on your roster to compete, that's not good at all.
Agreed.
And if you're going to strip it down, man, that ain't Chicago White Sox baseball. That's more like some minor league outfit. That's really disappointing.
And you mentioned that the Sox hold a team option for 26 and 27 mm-hmm. at $20 million. Why would you trade that guy now? There's no reason. No, I would not.
I would not either. I don't know what they're thinking up there.
It's not like he's making $48 million a year here. This year, his salary is 8.3. That's nothing in baseball parlance. Nothing.
Let me just tell you that I know that some people listening right now, they're saying, well, I mean, Ryan Pohl stripped this down to almost the studs to be able to build it up to where it is. Let me just tell you something. The general manager in place right now in Chris Getz is not Ryan Pohl's. He's just not. I don't think that's what that is. And it's harder in baseball to be able to wheel and deal, to have those kind of moves to make yourself on the precipice of being a contender. He's not that.
Well, but it's also different in baseball. You could, first of all, because of these collective bargaining rules, you're not picking any higher than 10th, even though you had a bad season.
Yeah.
But it takes time for guys to develop. You don't just draft Caleb Williams in Major League Baseball and he's your best player or your star or your face of your team or whatever you want to call him.
Mm-hmm.
It takes time. And if you take a high school kid, he's 3, 4, 5 years down the road. Draft a 17-year-old kid. You just got to keep throwing money at international signings and draft picks and whatever it is. Make some astute trades and hopefully get the thing competent enough that you can get some decent free agents. But upper management has to be willing to spend on it, too. It's only two teams that have never spent minimum of $100 million on a particular player. That would be the Oakland A's and the White Sox. That's it.
That's right.
It's got to change.
And somehow, some way, the A's are just a game under 500 coming into this week's games. How?
Yeah, they do a good job in draft and development. They've got a really good closer. They've got some solid pitching. Paul Blackburn, former Cub, who Theo drafted in 2012,
mm-hmm.
is pitching at an all-star level and has been an all-star for them. They've got some decent players there. Their closer, Mason Miller, legit.
And then when they get to the all-star break, and they get to the deadline, we're going to rip the Band-Aid off.
Right.
Goodbye, trade them all.
Trade them all. Until they can move to Sacramento for 3 years, then to Vegas. I mean, they're a train wreck, too, as a franchise.
Right here on the home of the White Sox, ESPN 1000. All right, coming up, we will give you around the NFL. We'll hear from Courtney Cronin with the latest on the Bears and the NFL at 8:35. All part of the mix on the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show.
Welcome. Welcome back to Cap and Jay Hood on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
Nick Foles sucks. He sucks.
I'm just a fan. I'm not a football evaluator.
I love the Green Bay Packers.
The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
I want winners.
He starts to come and he pulls out.
This is a really thickly built guy.
I mean, what's the answer you're looking for on these things here?
It's time to go around the NFL right here on Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. I'd like to remind you that Courtney Cronin comes your way at 8:35. Around the NFL, here's Jack.
All right, guys. So Odell Beckham Jr. signed with the Dolphins over the weekend. This led to some Miami fans on social media claiming this puts them over the top as the best receiving core in the NFL. My opinion, there's 100 receivers who are just as good as Odell Beckham Jr. at this point. Doesn't put him over the top. I think the Bears have the best receiving core in the NFL. Where do you rank Miami? Where do you rank the Bears in terms of receiving cores?
Whew. I mean, Minnesota's receiving core with Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison and TJ Hockenson, if he's healthy, that's a pretty damn good receiving room right there. Miami, very, very good receiving room.
Hill and Waddle and Braxton Berrios.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And now OBJ, that's a really good receiving room as well. The Rams have Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp and Tyler Higbee. They got a really good receiving room. Mm-hmm. How about the Mariners. Seahawks. Mm-hmm. DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett and Will Disley. Like, there's some really, really impactful groups out there. So, yeah, Miami can absolutely lay claim. Got to prove it.
Cowboys could be in the conversation.
CeeDee Lamb, Michael. Is Gallup still there? Or did he leave?
No, it's like Cooks, right?
Brandon Cooks.
Brandon Cooks, who's old. He's over 30.
Talbert. Jalen Tolbert, also part of that mix.
Yeah, and who's their tight end? Dalton Schultz. Yeah. Or he's gone. He went to Houston.
Oh, you're right. You're right.
So,
I think the Bears are definitely in that team photo. See how it all works together. So how about San Francisco?
Yeah, with Deebo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk and George Kittle. They got a good room, too.
Bengals.
Eagles. Mm-hmm. A.J. Brown. Great call, Jay Moore. A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith. Yeah, they're loaded. So, there's a bunch of teams that have a bunch of good receivers. Bears are in the discussion.
No doubt.
All right. So last night, there was a roast of Tom Brady. He participated in a roast on Netflix. Lots of people there. Julian Edelman, Rob Gronkowski, Bill Belichick made an appearance as well. He took a shot with Robert Kraft. But the most jaw-dropping of the moment of the night, the most jaw-dropping moment of the night for me was when Tom Brady said this about Deflategate.
Here tonight, but where's Roger Goodell? Remember Deflategate? The NFL spent $20 million and found that it was more probable than not that I was generally aware that someone may have deflated my footballs. You could have just given me the $20 million and I would just told you I did it.
How about that? There it is.
Is he making a joke or is he admitting there?
He's admitting 100%. 100% he admitted it. And whatever.
I think it's tongue in cheek because it's a roast. So that might have been written for him. That definitely wasn't off the top of his head. So I just think that that could be tongue in cheek. Either way, you know, it's behind him and it's a story that's part he's part of. I'm just surprised that he did it. Just looking at some of the highlights of what was said there, it's pretty strong.
Oh, yeah, I think he was absolutely admitting it, 100%, in my opinion.
They held out for so long, and then it jumped to Robert Kraft's face, and he looked amazed that Tom Brady said that. He kind of gave a look like, oh, no, I can't believe he actually said that on television, on national television.
Who was the comedian that gave the joke about Robert Kraft getting a massage, and Tom ran up there and went?
Jeff Ross. Well, that's Jeff Ross.
Jeff Ross.
Who's always good in these roasts.
Said, I'm the best decision your organization has ever made. like a massage. I love Robert Kraft. I love
his
Okay.
Don't say that blank again. Tom ran up there. Then they fired on Kim Kardashian. Oh, my God.
Well, thank you. I know a lot of people make fun of your height.
Wow. She got booed, but they were making jokes about her. Oh, my God. Some of them we can't play on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
They were graphic.
And she couldn't even get the first joke off before she got booed.
Well, then what Tom said, Kim Kardashian's here today, and she's very nervous because her kids are with their father. It was a shot at Kanye. I mean, it was...
Damn.
It was one after another, man, they were firing. And she just sat there shaking her head. A good sport.
Top five Chicago sports figures in 2024 that deserve a roast. I have two slots open. Number one, Jerry Reinsdorf.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, Arturis Karnišovas. Number three, Tom Ricketts. I need 4 and 5.
Are we trying to entertain or they deserve to be roasted?
Anytime you have a roast, they all deserve to be roasted.
Ozzie Guillen would be a phenomenal roast.
Ozzie Guillen is
phenomenal.
And I need a fifth.
Wow.
Reinsdorf right on the top of the list, though.
George McCaskey. That'd be hilarious.
I was going to go Pedro Grifol.
Nobody cared.
Wouldn't be entertaining, but probably due for a roast.
Yeah. That'd be funny.
So there you have it. Top five in the Chicago sports. And by the way, out of these five, did not mention a player.
No. Is there a player that you, now that you're thinking back after we have the list, that you're thinking, is there a player? I should have put him on there.
Lonzo Ball, maybe? If anyone deserves one.
Exactly. Exactly.
All right. What else we have, Jack?
Let's reset the NFC North. So we've cooled down a little bit from the draft hype. Everybody was really amped up after the Bears selected Caleb and Rome Odunze. So do we still believe the Bears are the team to beat in the NFC North this year? And are they the team to beat in the NFC North over the next 5 years? Because the Lions are still young. The Packers have a young quarterback. And the Vikings are kind of a wild card at this point.
Well, I think the Detroit Lions would like to have a word for your first question. It's a team to beat at this point in time. That's not a lark. They're not going anywhere anytime soon. We talk about all the time how the Bears were able to build their team. Well, what about the Lions? How bad they were to build it up to where they are right now. So I think the Lions, I think to your first question, I think that that's the team to beat. The next 5 years, because the Bears are on the come, I would say that the Bears would be in that conversation the next 5 years. That they could be a perennial playoff team.
They should be. With what they've added, the youth on the team, the salary cap space they still have. If Caleb is the guy, yeah, they should absolutely be a perennial playoff team. 100%.
All right, Jack, anything else?
Yeah, one more for you. So The Athletic listed one undrafted free agent to watch for each team. And for the Bears, it was actually a quarterback, Western Kentucky quarterback Austin Reed. Mm-hmm. The Athletic suggests a potential backup quarterback competition for the Bears, one between Tyson Bagent, Reed, and Brett Rippon. I think Bajan's the obvious answer, but if you can only roster two of them, who are you rostering? Is it Brett Rippon? Is it Reed? Does Bajan get cut? What do you think?
Well, I don't think Brett Rippon has a future here if this kid's any good in camp. Brett Rippon's had his shot. It hasn't really worked, but you need camp arms. But I don't see a scenario where Tyson Bagent isn't the backup unless they go get a veteran guy to come in here. I know Tannehill's still out there.
I know someone that would know who should be the backup outside of Tyson Bagent. I know of a guy that definitely would know.
Hello?
Hello?
Who's this?
Who's this?
I think we know who.
That'd be Caleb and Ryan. Look, could they bring in Tannehill? Probably not, because I think he still has some hope of playing wherever he goes. So it's Bagent in the two hole, And then this kid from Western Kentucky, Brett Rypien, will compete for the three hall. I don't see the kid in Western Kentucky coming in as your backup. I don't.
I watch a lot of college football. Did not watch Western Kentucky.
Me either.
Don't know who Austin Reed is.
May have bet on him, but I don't remember doing that.
Don't know who Austin Reed is, Cap. I mean, I know he's on the Bears. I just didn't see him play.
They said he's kind of like Tyson Bagent. Stronger arm for a small school, threw for a whole bunch of yards, whole bunch of touchdowns, but smaller school, so the stats aren't as meaningful.
So Tyson's quarterback camp was on Saturday. You remember when we had him on?
Mm-hmm.
He was promoting this quarterback camp. So my friend Ryan McGuffey, his son went to it. He said it was awesome. He said Tyson was so good with the kids and putting him through all these different drills that they do with the Bears. And here are these kids going through these drills with an NFL quarterback. He said, hats off to that dude. He is awesome. But good to hear.
Coming up next, Courtney Cronin with the latest on the Bears and the NFL. She will be with us coming up next. Cap and Jay Hood, weekday morning, 7 to 10.